Psalms 109. Psalms 109. I'm going to be very practical tonight, and I promise you, hopefully I won't take too much time neither, amen. But I wondered, some participation. Best thing that ever happened to any of us is God saved us. Thank God you're saved. If you're not saved, that you're missing out.
Amen.
But after you get saved, very practical, what are some things practically that a child of God ought to begin doing? Feedback. Read your Bible.
Pray.
Go to church.
Witness.
These are practical things, aren't they?
Amen.
I just ABC Christianity. You know, get in your Bible, get in church, witness, amen. Hey, separate from the world, right? Just practical Christianity things that a lot of times, I believe today it's very sad that in the new generation we're living in, they kind of just stumble over these basics. They're not picking up their Bibles. They're not going to church like they should. They're not separating away from the world. You know, they're not praying. I don't know what it is, but some way we miss the basics.
Amen.
Would you agree with me?
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, we start out a new year. Amen. And we try to push it and very forcefully. Hey, get in your Bible. Start reading your Bible through. I walked through the foyer back there this evening or after this morning and seen that y'all have calendars how to read your Bible through throughout the year. That's a structure in your life that'll help you fulfill that basic thing in Christianity. You can check it off, January the 1st, January the 2nd. And if somehow you slip up, mess up, and maybe like the preacher said one day, maybe you have to spend the night with some crazy preacher in a motel and you can't even pray and read your Bible that week. You got to pick up the next 3 days and get back on track. Amen. But that schedule will help you fulfill that basic thing in Christianity, right? Hey, we have church service Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night. That's structure to help you come to church regularly, right? And then you go in revivals and things of that nature and youth rallies, and you have a set up time to keep you in church regularly, right? Just structural things. Just things that will help us basically as Christians. Let me ask you a question. Out of those, what we mentioned, five things or so that are basic in Christianity to begin to do in your life, which one of them have you found to be the hardest in your life? Come on, help me out. I'll be shaking that. Take your head up for a moment. Huh? Prayer. Would you agree with me that prayer seems to be the hardest one to do? You know what's amazing about it? If we look at it, it's the easiest. It's the easiest thing to do that is so hard to do. I'll read you, amen. Prayer. It's the hardest thing in my Christian life to do, but it's the easiest thing out of all the lips. Right? It is. I mean, just bow down, stand up, lay down, hold your eyes, close your eyes, whatever, and cry out to God, and God's right there. Like a Nehemiah prayer, amen. Just any time we can go to God, but somehow we find it to be hard. I kind of thinking a little bit today, and do some thinking on things sometimes my brain begins to smoke, you know, or, why is it that prayer is so hard?
The devil fights,
and I agree with that. You know what I think? Well, out of the things that we listed that are basic Christianity, why I believe that prayer is one of the hardest, it's the one that's not tangible. I can hold my Bible. It's there right in front of me, right? Go to church is a physical thing. To separate from you, some of you devils, I can see you and back up, you know? Witness, I see somebody right there. Maybe a little fearful of hanging out on the track, but hey, it's right there. But prayer is invisible. It's faith, man. It's what we struggle with, amen. It's not something tangible. It's something that's just, I'm not seeing God, but I know He's there, right?
Yeah, amen.
But I'm not sitting right there in front of Him to be able to talk to Him, even though He's right there all everywhere, you know, omnipresent. Prayer. Just teach a little bit, preach a little bit, something that I'm sure you know, but hopefully can maybe be an inspiration to somebody to help you out in your prayer life. That be all right, can I pray? That we probably have in here is some prayer warriors. Boy, I thank God for prayer warriors, don't you? There is some people that pray, man. And thank my hats off to you. And I glory be to God for you. We need more people like you. You know, one thing I know about Glory Land Baptist Church, it is a praying church. Amen. Ever since I've been coming to the Glory Land, when if I'm able to be here on a Sunday and come back on Sunday night, there's always a prayer meeting at 5:30 right before church. And the men are in there and the women are in here. They're sharing requests and praying about these things. And we need to pray. Prayer. Somebody said, you know, prayer moves the unseen hand of God. God answers prayer, don't you? God will move through prayer. Look at Psalms 109. Just practical truths of prayer if you wanted the title for the message tonight. Psalms 109, look in verse 4. Just take this out spiritually. I want to pull this out of this text. He said, for my love, they are my adversaries. But here's the part I want you to look at. After that colon, the psalmist said, but I give myself unto prayer. You got to give yourself to prayer. Amen. I give myself to prayer. Look in Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke. What I'm going to give you is nothing new. I found it to help me in my prayer life. Amen. I'll honestly say that prayer, I struggle in prayer. Amen. But I found this to help my prayer life, and maybe it can help you. Maybe you've already got it, and you got it all figured out. Man, thank God for you. Pray for me. Pray for others, and keep up doing what you're doing. My hat's off to you. Glory be to God. That ain't nothing sarcastic. I mean that. Thank God for you. But maybe this could help somebody like me that maybe that realizes that the hardest thing that seems to be that is so easy to do in my life that I trip over is prayer. Luke 18, look in verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to what? And not to faint. Why do we faint? Well, in the context there, we don't pray. We try to handle it on our own, maybe not give it to the Lord. Pray. I wrote some things down. This is very simple here. You can go down. You could take a concordance and do it yourself. But I just the other day, I took and went through the New Testament. I believe the word prayer, prayer, prayers, praying is in the Bible around 500 times. About 300 in the Old Testament, I believe it is. Around 200 in the New Testament. But these are some things that I just pulled right out of the text about prayer that is very practical. Sometimes they overlap in other places in the Bible where they say the same thing. But these are just some truths about prayer. Hey, Matthew chapter 6, I see that we ought to have a time of private prayer. Amen. Private prayer. Get alone with God. Nobody around, just you and God. You ought to have some private time of prayer. I see in Matthew 17 verse 21 that sometimes your old prayer needs to be accompanied with fasting. I mean, you got to go a little bit deeper, amen. These things come only by prayer and fasting. You have to separate yourself from food and separate yourself from the world. Get on your knees and get with God and ask God to do something. Some things need prayer and fasting, amen. Matthew 19, verse number 13, shows us that we ought to pray for children. Boy, our children need prayer, don't they, amen. Hey, Matthew 21, verse 13, shows us that the meeting place is a place of prayer. Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of what? Prayer. Amen. Matthew 21 verse 22 shows us that practical truths about prayer that you ought to pray believing. I mean, I'm talking about confidence. I'm going to a holy God and I'm believing that he's hearing me and I believe that he can do something about my prayer life and the need that I have. Hey, I still believe God answers prayer. You ought to pray believing. Amen. Hey, Matthew 24, 20, here's a practical truth. Man, that tribulation text over there, hey, you ought to pray about traveling. He said, pray your flight be not in winter. So I believe in that. There ain't a thing in this world you ought not to pray about. Hey, there was a wreck tonight. Amen, thank God she's all right. Amen, preacher and him's going up the road a Tuesday, amen, and made mention in it. Pray for us, we're heading up the road. Hey, there ain't a thing in this world you ought not to go before the Lord and say, God, I need you to take care of me. Hey, some idiots out there, amen. Pray about traveling. That's in your Bible. Hey, Matthew 26, 39 says to pray for things to be removed. Need something got out of your life? Ask God to remove it. Take it away, amen. Hey, Matthew 26, 41 says watch him pray. What am I watching for? I'm watching to see if he's going to answer. Amen. What's wrong with that? Amen. That's good practical truth. Hey, Matthew 26:41. Hey, there's something about this in the Bible. You see it over and over. Sometimes I don't know how to wrap my mind completely around it. Maybe you got a greater understanding of it. But it seems like when there's a supported issue that you ought to at least season that thing three times. Remember when Jesus went in the garden and he prayed this cup, but pass from me. There was three times he prayed about that thing. I mean, a specific need of something, seasoning that thing. I don't know what the deal is with that thing. Just something about threes, you just go into, and I believe repetition to God, not vain repetition, but going to him many times about things. But it seems like an important decision or something in your life, you at the least season that thing thrice. Amen. I don't know, maybe you got something deeper on it. Hey, Mark chapter 1, I see that you ought to pray early in the morning. Get up and start your day off right. Hey, Mark 5, you ought to pray for healing. Amen. Hey, thank God he still heals. Amen. Mark chapter 11, you ought to pray with a forgiving spirit. Yeah, by the way, this is a subject in itself, but there is things that hinder your prayer life. Hey, you ought to pray for help with temptation. You got something you struggle with? Have you went to God and said, God, help me with it? God, I struggle with this. This is a temptation in my life. You ought to pray for help with your temptation. Amen. Hey, Luke chapter 2 shows you ought to pray night and day. Amen. Luke 6 says you ought to pray all day. Sometimes you take all day prayer. Luke 6 says in verse 28, you ought to pray for those that use you. That'll help us, wouldn't it? Luke 18 verse 11 says we ought to always pray and not faint. Hey, Luke 22 says you ought to pray for others' faith. You ever pray for people, God strengthen their faith? God lift that brother up. Help that sister out. She's a little weak right there. Instead of you running your mouth about them, why don't we go to God and say, God help them. They weak and need some help. Luke 22 verse 44 says we ought to pray earnestly. It'll be a little bit of effort in your prayer life. Acts chapter 1 says that we ought to pray in one accord. God's people getting together like tonight in one accord and sharing prayer requests and asking God to do something about a need. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1 shows that we ought to have set times for prayer. At the hour of prayer, they went down to pray. What's wrong with set times in your life, structure in your life to keep your prayer life where it ought to be? Acts chapter 6 says we ought to pray continually. Don't give up, amen. God hears prayer. There's been people that's prayed for people to be saved years and years and out, amen. And God finally comes through and does something, amen. Don't give up your prayer life. What about Acts 8, praying with a little bit of repentance? But we don't do that much anymore, do we? Repentance has about become a cuss word in Baptist churches. Amen, you ought to repent. Acts 12 and other places also, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 shows you ought to pray without ceasing. Acts 12:12 says, pray together with others. How about getting together in a little group and having a prayer meeting? Sharing stuff with one another that people that you can trust is not going to spread gossip that, hey, you can pray about issues with you. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Hey, Acts 16:9 says we're to pray for help from others. You ever pray for somebody to help you? God, should be good if somebody come by and help me. My wife does it all the time. Many times she run out of gas. God, send somebody out here with a gas can. Lord, help me, man. He's answered, man. We got about 15 gas cans at the house. Pray for somebody to help you, amen. I like Romans 8:26 says that when we don't know what to pray, the Spirit of God helps pray for us. Been there, haven't you? Romans 10 shows us in verse 1 we're to pray for the salvation of others. Pray for people to get saved. What about Romans 12:12? We're to be instant in prayer. Be ready to pray, amen. Ephesians 6:18, pray with supplication. Philippians 1:9, pray with love. Pray for love to abound. Hey, pray. Philippians 4:6, pray with thanksgiving in your heart. Thank God I can pray to God. Thank God he hears, amen. Hey, have a little thanksgiving in your heart. Hey, what about Colossians 4:3? Pray for doors to be open to speak the word of God. Colossians 4:12, pray fervently, amen. Hey, pray for others to live blameless before the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5, amen. Pray for the word of God to have free course. Pray for all men. Pray with holy hands, amen. Hey, everybody in the book of James chapter 5, pray for weather. Ain't a thing in this world you can't pray about, amen. Why do we have so much struggle in prayer? Give you something real common and real practical that's helped me. If it don't help you, throw it down the road. Keep your prayer life where it's at. Glory be to God. Kind of like somebody showing you how they read the Bible through in a year. A little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New Testament. Read it from beginning to end. Hey, read it over here and read the Psalms all. And read the Proverbs every, you know, whatever. Whatever works for you, get in your Bible. Very practical. Are you ready? Look with me in number one. Just seven little quick points. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. What I begin to do, Matthew chapter 6, look in verse number 11. The disciples over here, the Lord's teaching them to pray, you know. Matthew chapter 6. This is practical truths on prayer. Not trying to be all doctrinal with it. I'm just practical truths that's found in the Word of God to help my prayer life. Matthew chapter 6, look in verse number 11. He says, give us this day, you see that? Our daily bread. You know what I realize in my prayer life? That I need some prayers that I pray every day. Yeah. Every day of my life. Amen. I'll show you how to make a little structure in your prayer life. You're going to get your notebook, get your prayer journal, get something, and you're going to have a prayer list for things that you pray every day in your life. Every day of my life, you know what I pray? I can't tell you all of them, but I pray for my wife and I pray for my children. I pray God to protect us. I pray God to watch over us, help us be a witness. Hey, keep us out of sin. Hey, keep us on the straight and narrow. Hey, pray for your family. That's something you'll pray about every day of your life. You'll have a prayer life for daily things that are lifted up daily. And some of these things will change. Hey, and they might change as the seasons go by in your life, but you ought to have a daily prayer list that you pray about every day of your life. Get you a list. Find out what's important for that day, every day, and make a list and pray every day. He said, give us what? This day, our daily bread. There can be some things you pray about daily. Amen. That's practical, ain't it? All right, look at Romans chapter 10. You can do any kind of order you want. But I found out that if I try to pray about all these issues, I wouldn't have enough time to pray every day. Right. Wow. I what? Now, if you can spend 5 hours in prayer a day, hey, glory be to God. Keep it up. But I ain't got 5 hours a day to pray. You know, some people try to make it all about time and the limit. To me, it's about quality. Sure. To me, it's about whatever helps my life, how I live for God. And so if this fits in your pocket, hey, then put it in there and use it. But you know what I found? That every day I've got a prayer list. I'm going to pray about these things every day. But let's say Monday. I'm going to have some things I need to pray about. How about this one? Just an example. You make a list, put them in whatever you want. But what about people that are lost? Yeah. Do you know how many people you heard mentioned in this church that people say, pray about my cousin so-and-so, they're lost. Yeah. Pray about my mama, she's lost. What if everybody in the church had a prayer list for lost people, and on Monday, they prayed for lost people? That was what they did on Monday. The structure in your prayer life. Now, I got my things I pray about every day. That's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm praying about these things every day of my life. But for the souls of people that are lost, hey, maybe some of them might be on my everyday prayer list, you know, that's really important in my life and my circle. But I'm going to have a prayer list for lost people because God wants people to be saved. You know what some of you are saying today? Somebody pray. Amen. There's people in my church that I hear them. They come to church on prayer meeting and say, preacher, pray for this. And they seem like they mention that name every time. You know what? If that's important to them, that's going to be important to me to put on my prayer list for somebody that's lost to be saved. Look in Romans chapter number 10. Romans 10. Romans 10. Very practical, amen. Romans 10, look in verse number 1. Here's what Paul said. Brother, my heart's desire and what? Prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. Maybe this will help your prayer life. Maybe you start out on Mondays, and on Mondays, that's going to be my prayer day for people that are lost. You know what you'll find out? That list is going to grow. It's going to get big. And it's going to get you personally involved in somebody else's life and what's going on in their life. And it might find you less talking about other people in the church and praying for their family members and fall a little bit more in love with them. You'll find that thing will affect a lot more in your life than just your time of prayer. Yeah. Well, what about Tuesdays? You pick the order you want to put them in. Look in James chapter 5. Now, if you can pray about all these issues every day in your life, keep it up, man. Glory be to God for your prayer life. But how many people you know that's sick? What about people that's sick? I was talking to Brother Sam Delaney the other day. I didn't even realize, amen. Some of y'all realize, did y'all hear that just last month or so that his wife had breast cancer? I didn't even know that. I said, Brother Sam, what are you telling me? He said, just trying to take care of it. And I had no clue. Well, you know, I've heard about Tim Ellis's cancer and things as he's went through in his life. People like that, the sick, going through things. People in this church dealing with sicknesses. Talked about a brother this morning with staph infection. They needs prayer. Hey, get you a prayer list for sicknesses. And maybe on Tuesday is your day, on top of your everyday prayers, that you pray about people that are sick. James chapter number 5, look at verse number 13. He said, is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And you take this thing, whatever you to do with the text, but amen, that the principle is you ought to pray for people that are sick. And pray for God to touch them, amen. And pray for God to lift them up. Pray God to give them a healing, amen. And get you a prayer list for people that are sick. When you see them, say, how you doing, man? Praying about your sickness there. Praying about your neck surgery coming up. We've been praying about your leg. You'll find yourself less talking about people and more prayer. That's going to help all of our life. And help our fellowship with one another. Amen. Hey, get your prayer list for sickness. I think it works. Amen. Let me give you another one. Amen. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. These are seven things that this separate days, the things you can pray about. Help your structure in your prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Amen. What about this? What if you had a prayer list for wayward people? Boy, you know that list would get real big, wouldn't it? That list could get so big that it consumed your whole day, whole life of prayer. How many people you know in this church that's out of this church? It's gone away. Pray Holy Ghost conviction on their lives, that when they're turning up that bottle, God will smoke their heart about some Bible preaching that they've heard and bring them back to repentance. Like an old prodigal out there in the hog pen, that God will bring him to his senses and come back to the fold and get right with God. Amen. Instead of going on Facebook and running them down and running your mouth, why don't you get on your knees and pray for them? You know, ye with your spiritual restore such a one, in the spirit of meekness, consider that on, say, you know, it'll help a little bit of prayer on their behalf. You know why some of you got back where you are tonight? Because somebody prayed for you when you got back on your knees. They didn't throw you away. Somebody, some grandma got on her knees and begged God to bring you back. Some grandpa begged God to get you back right with God. Hey, what about having a prayer list on Wednesdays for people that have gone wayward? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, look in verse 22. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I did in my prayer list when I wrote this thing up like this and having separate days to give me some structure, because I need structure to keep me in line in prayer? I put these verses at the top of my prayer list. And I read these verses and I read these prayers and I go out to God, because I can't put them all in my mind and remember them by heart, but I can look at that prayer list and bow my head and pray, look at the next one and pray, and I got a prayer list for people that are wayward. Hey, people that come up to our youth group since I was a little kid and I was over the youth in our church. That's gone and out there in the world begging God to bring them back. They think you hate them, you know. They think that you think you're better than them. But you down on your knees praying for God to bring them back because you love them and want to see them repent. What about praying for the wayward out there that God might bring them back? What about on Wednesdays if you pray for the wayward? What about Thursdays? Look in Colossians 4. Now, you put them in any order you want, but I believe this kind of structured prayer help your prayer life. Because sometimes, you know, having a long prayer list of all these certain issues, it can get overwhelming. And when something gets overwhelming, a lot of times, you know what we do? We just quit. It's so daunting. Look at all the names. Man, this is so much. But basically, we can break it down with a little basic structure. line that thing out however it fits our lives and make prayer a very a major priority, because it is a major thing that we ought to have in our lives. It can help our prayer lives. You with me? What about on Thursdays if you prayed for missionaries? Man, you don't think that's a big thing? I think I looked out there tonight. Y'all have almost, I think, around 100 different missionaries on that board out there. I think there's rows of nine, and there was 10 rows of nine, so I know there's at least 90 box up there on the wall. 90. That's a lot of missionaries. And man, if you started taking the request for the missionaries, you know how much time that could take up in your life. But what if about just Thursdays, on top of my everyday prayers that I pray, give me this day, Lord, my daily bread, that on Thursdays I'm going to take it a priority that I'm going to pray for missionaries. The brother joined in tonight on the back of the car. I don't know how y'all exactly do it. I was kind of trying to listen to what he was saying, but there was three major names. I don't know if there's something y'all try to bring up three every week or something to do. I don't know how you do it. Every month, amen, they're trying to bring it before you to know that, hey, these missionaries need prayer. But what about on Thursdays with missionary prayer? And we're going to pray for our missionaries. We're going to, hey, get involved with what's going on in their lives. Get involved in what they need, on how they need their visas to be renewed, and how they need money, and how they're trying to build a church, and how they need to get a little bit of land, and get involved in what's going on. That'll get involved in your heart. You'll be a lot more excited about mission conference coming up because you're involved in what's going on. We so out of touch with what's going on because we don't pray for them. We don't even know what's going on. So we ain't even excited about giving the mission. And you get a prayer life for mission, you get burdened about those things, it'll start reaching out of your pocket and you'll dig down and give. And how your prayer life can affect your giving. Ain't it amazing how these things all go together? What if you pray for the missionaries? What about when they came up and something? And man, you know what I like about it? Hey, pray, watch and pray. That when you write these things down and you start putting them in your prayer life, and then you get you maybe a highlight of how to work with you, that when an answer of prayer comes, you highlight that thing and see what God is doing right there. And boy, how that builds faith in your life and encourages you that God hears prayer. God's answering. God's doing something. I ain't wasting my time talking to God. Amen. What about on Thursdays? You pray for missionaries. Colossians 4, here's your verse. Colossians 4, 2. He says, with all praying for us, that the God would open up a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He said, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Amen. Hey, Paul's saying, hey, pray, God, that God will bless my prayer life. Verse 2, continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Pray for us on the mission field. Our missionaries need prayer. What about Fridays? What are you going to pray on Fridays? Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Here's a good one. And I know this church knows a lot of them. What about pray for pastors and ministries? Well, you know a lot of preachers. Now, when I say preachers, I mean their wives. What about having a prayer list on Fridays that you pray for preachers and their wives? You know what you'll find out about these preachers and wives? You'll hear things across this pulpit that's going on in their lives, and it'll make your prayer life be a little more specific for them and for their ministries and what's going on in their fields. How they're going through this. Like I said earlier, amen, hear a little bit about Tim Ellis and, hey, how he's got cancer. And legal prayers about his cancer and prayer with their ministry. And you get more specific about what's going on in their lives. And you got a prayer list that you pray for preachers and their wives and ministries around the world. And on Fridays, that was your prayer life for pastors and ministries. 2 Thessalonians 3, look in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Amen. Do you pray for God to use these men and women for his glory? Lift them up in prayer. You don't think the devil's trying to attack them? You don't think it'll help to lift up these preachers and their wives, their families, these ministries? God to breathe on it and bless it? This is what he said in the word of God. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. Pray for us in the field of working in the ministry for the Lord. What about Saturday? Look in Philippians 1, Saturday. You're going to pray on Saturdays. Man, it's the day before Sunday. This is what I like. This is the order I like. You do whatever you like. You know I like to pray on Saturdays? I like to pray for my church. We're going to church tomorrow. Going to meet with God. You know what? It's a big congregation.
You know what I do on Saturdays? I try to call out every person in my church.
around me. And when I bow my head to pray, it's out in my mind's eye. You know what I do? I start on this side, and I go from that pew and begin to go down and work my way through. Because I know people in my church, because I go there. Right. Most of you sit at the same place. Amen. And you go in your mind's eye and start calling them out. God help me with this. I heard them talking about this the other day. They struggling with this right here. You know, they've been battling with some sickness lately. It's going all the way through the family. And man, you begin to get personal about your church. Instead of running your mouth about it, you're praying for them. And God's answering prayer. And you're falling in love with one another. And your church has got a little bit more unity. And God's blessing and breathing on it because we're praying for one another.
Amen.
Do you pray for people in your church? What about a Saturday? This was your day. You know what? I'm praying for my church members. Then you got the one day left. That's Sunday. Now, you could do it. You could maybe have a day of special request. There's something that's just, you know, special things that don't meet in the other list. But you know what I just try to do on Sundays? I just try to pray about Sunday. Pray about what's going to go on today at church. Pray to God for the visitors God's going to bring in. Pray God move in every meeting. Pray God bless the Sunday school teachers. Pray God, you know, just God do something here. Bless the choir. Take care of this. Hey, these people were there today, and God, you maybe bring them back and you keep doing something in their lives. Visitors have been coming. You know, Sunday's just all about the place of worship and with God's people, and that's what I try to do.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you do whatever you want to do. If it don't help you, hey, that's okay. But maybe that can help your prayer life. I believe that prayer is one of the hardest things to do. It's so easy to do. But if we can get a little structure in it like these other things, I believe we can live a lot better.
Amen.
So you put it in your pipe, smoke it, whatever you do with it, amen. And I just pray to heaven. Here's some practical truths of prayer. You know what I found? I did this with our church just the other week and tried to share it with them a little bit. You know what I found out right after church? People coming up to me talking, man, that sure does help me.
Amen.
It's amazing how much people struggle with prayer. You know, and we can just get some practical aspects about it and show put a little bit of order in it and help your whole life. It turns your prayer life around.
Amen.
Practical truths of prayer.
Amen.
Amen.